I've been thinking a lot about the concept of transplant shock lately, as I've found it has been a beautiful metaphor for what I am personally moving through right now after moving 1,500 miles from New York to Florida. It's a plant life parallel that is giving me so much comfort and guidance in this season of discomfort of changing this chapter of life. And I have a feeling that it will resonate with many of you. So today we are talking about change and the lessons that we can learn in order to thrive ourselves in hard times. Welcome to the Growing Joy with Plants podcast, where we not only learn how to care for plants successfully, but how to simply and affordably use our plant babies to cultivate more joy in our lives by doing so. I'm Maria, former plant killer turned happy plant lady, author of Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness, speaker, podcaster, and most importantly, your new best plant friend. On Growing Joy with Plants, you'll find conversations about houseplant care, gardening tutorials, and wellness through the lens of plants.
Plant care is self-care on Growing Joy.
Hello, plant friends, and welcome to Growing Joy with Maria. I'm Maria, and I'm here to help you care for plants and grow joy while doing so. If you're new here, welcome. Today, we're talking more about growing joy than caring for plants, but there will be plant care in this episode, so fear not. And if you want to nerd out about plants, we've got 250-something episodes on plant care for you to listen to. If you're a returning guest, welcome home. Welcome back. So honored to be part of your plant journey. I've got a really juicy, vulnerable one for you today. Before we dive into this whole episode on transplant loss, transplant shock, I wanted to give a quick thank you to the new amazing Patreon supporters of the podcast, Rabia S., Angela M., and Julie. Thank you so much. If you haven't heard already, we've relaunched Patreon with amazing offerings. You can get one-on-one plant coaching with me, extra content, exclusive merch, and so much more. And by supporting us on Patreon, you help me support my team of amazing editors and contractors that bring all this content to you. So thank you so much in advance. Okay, let's get real. Let's get deep. Today's episode is for anyone experiencing change, and change can look different. Change can be expressed in many different ways. Whether you're like me and you've moved homes, maybe you're going through a breakup, you're moving in or out of different relationships, maybe you're newly married, maybe you've moved jobs, maybe you've moved life circumstances, right? Or maybe you're suffering a loss of a loved one. There are so many different things that can trigger change, and change affects us in any capacity. I was talking to a friend and she said that the three biggest stressors for humans are moving, career change, and financial instability. And with my husband getting a new job and this massive move, we feel like we've totally been uprooted. And that term uprooted that is used in a very widespread way comes from a plant. Being uprooted, being taken out of where it is used to. And usually when you replant that plant, it goes through something we call transplant shock. And as we know, I live my life in plant life parallels here on the podcast and in my day to day. And as I've been going through significant changes this month, I've been holding this parallel of transplant shock so close to my heart. So today I'm going to kind of go into the weeds and share more transparently about the change that's been affecting me. And then we'll talk about what transplant shock actually is and how to treat it in a plant. And then also how that relates to our lives and how we can learn lessons from treating transplant shock when it happens with our plants for ourselves, because that has been what I've been actively doing on a day-to-day basis. And today's episode is really a plant-centered mindfulness episode. So if you have someone that you've been wanting to share this podcast with, but maybe you haven't wanted to share like a very nerdy plant care episode, this might be a great episode to share with your friends. And if you know anyone who's going through a change and this episode might be supportive for them, please take a second, copy the link and shoot it to them in a text or an email. Okay, transplant shock. This has probably been one of the most stressful couple of months in my life. Like I said, we moved 1,500 miles. I did a whole episode on moving with plants that I hope that you've listened to already. That was very stressful, but we're setting up a new house. My husband started a new job in a new industry. It's just been a tremendous pivot for us. And it's been absolutely beautiful, but it has been absolute chaos, plant friends. When I tell you everything that could have gone wrong with our move went wrong, like I am not lying. Moving in the Mercury retrograde is not for the faint of heart. The movers didn't show up. When they showed up, there was a hurricane. They couldn't deliver our boxes. The rental car wasn't available when we went to go pick that up. Like, literally everything went wrong. And I'm really lucky that I have a great partner in my husband, Billy, and we laughed through the whole thing. But I just kept going back to this concept of, I'm a plant going through transplant shock. How would I treat a plant if it was going through this? I have to treat myself the same way. To say that this was one of the most stressful couple of months of my life is kind of an understatement, right? You've probably hopefully listened to the episode that I already released on, you know, we moved 1500 miles with 80 plants and it was crazy. And the move took 3 days. But, you know, the month leading up to that, my husband got a job. We had to move very quickly. We had very short notice to kind of wrap up our life in upstate New York. And then we've had to start a new life in Jupiter, right? We moved to this area. We don't know anyone except for my sister and my mom. It's been crazy. And we moved in the Mercury retrograde. It's not for the faint of heart. Literally everything went wrong that could have gone wrong with this move. It was so crazy. The movers showed up a day late. When they came to deliver our stuff, there was a torrential downpour, so they couldn't actually get the stuff out of the truck. When we went to go get the rental car wasn't available. Like, literally everything went wrong. It was crazy. I'm so lucky that my husband is a great partner, and we really just tried to laugh our way through the experience. But now on the other side of it, we had to unpack 300 boxes. I have 80 plants in my lanai that I still haven't really been able to put around my house yet, as I'm still getting used to the lighting environment and we haven't really furnished the house. And when you don't have furnishings, you can't put your plants on your furnishings that don't exist, right? It's been really crazy. And frankly, as I've been going through this, I've been really physically and emotionally exhausted. I'm filled with gratitude, but I feel wilted. And when I kind of had that realization that I'm like, man, I feel like a wilted plant. What does a wilted plant look like? Oh, that's a plant going through transplant shock. And it reminded me of a section of my book that I want to read to you guys really quickly. Don't worry, we're going to dive into what transplant shock looks like in plants and how to treat it. But, you know, it reminded me as I had this crazy moment where I was talking with a friend about, you know, how stressed and how tired I was and talking about how I felt like this wilted plant. And I was like, I have a chapter in my book about this. Why am I not taking my own advice? And I returned to this chapter of my book and it really helped me. So for anyone that it might help now, I wanted to read this for a very short mini section of my book that is actually pulled from my journal. So a couple of years ago, I wrote this. I was journaling every day and I had this pepper that was going through transplant shock. And I wrote this entry in my journal kind of in a cheeky way because I was really just talking about the plant. And now as I reread it, I really can relate to that pepper plant on a different level. And so I figured this would be a fun way to start the episode off. So if you don't know, I wrote a book. It's called Growing Joy, The Plant Lover's Guide to Cultivating Happiness. And there's a chapter in the book called Plant Life Parallels. And this is one of the plant life parallels I wrote about. Dear Pepper, yesterday I took you out of your seedling pot and transplanted you into your final home, the 5-gallon container you live in during the growing season on my sunny balcony. Today, you aren't very happy with me. You're going through some transplant shock, which is understandable, my sweet pepper baby. You've gone from a tiny little pot just large enough to house you and your delicate roots comfortably to a larger container filled with new, unknown soil that feels vast and foreign. You're currently sulking, mourning the loss of your old home with droopy leaves. I know this process is hard and uncomfortable right now, but I promise, if you trust me, you will be so much happier in your new home. You have outgrown your current pot, and if you stayed, your roots would topple over each other and make you so unhappy. Your new pot, with all of its delicious, organic, nutrient-rich soil, has so much space for you to stretch and grow. Think of all the possibilities. Think of all the nutrients you'll absorb so you can become big and strong. Think of the delicious peppers you'll produce if you let yourself expand to your fullest potential. You couldn't grow peppers that large and delicious if you stayed in your small seedling home. I know it's scary at first, but you'll love it if you give it a chance. So let's make a deal. Give it a month. Explore your new space. Lift your leaves back up to face the sun and soak it in. Establish your roots in this new soil and let's circle back. Once you've adjusted, we can talk about returning to your old nursery pot if you still want to go back. But I have a feeling you'll see the beautiful potential for growth ahead of you and want to stay put. You've got this, and I'll be here to help you the whole time. Love, Maria, your plant person. It's like I almost tear up as I read this because I really feel like this letter was to my pepper, but it really could be to me. The perspective, I've just returned to this thought a lot, how moving into new spaces can be scary, but there's so much potential that you have to continue reminding yourself of. So now let's transition and talk actually about what transplant shock is and why it happens in plants and how you can treat it if you have a plant that is going through a transplant shock. So transplant shock in plants occurs when they are moved from one environment to another, disturbing their root system. So it really affects the root. Roots are crucial for water and nutrient absorption. And when they are disturbed, it affects the plant's ability to take up essential elements like water and nutrients. That's where some of the symptoms like wilting comes from. The shock comes from a sudden change in the plant's exposure to factors like light, moisture, temperature, and soil type. And it can take time for the roots to reestablish themselves in the new environment, leading to stress. So if you have a plant going through transplant shock, here are some of the symptoms you might notice: wilting, yellowing leaves, and stunted growth. To revive a plant from transplant shock, you can follow these steps. So you want to make sure that you're watering that plant. This is not the time to avoid your plant, right? And be like, let it figure itself out. Make sure that the soil is evenly moist and not waterlogged, obviously depending on what plant you have, but make sure the plant has the water that it needs. Make sure that the plant might need be in provide shade for a plant going through transplant shock. If you put it in a really sunny area and it gets shocked because it's exposed to so much more light, give a little bit of shade. Prune the damaged parts, right? So if you have leaves that have gotten completely damaged, remove them so the plant doesn't spend energy trying to save those leaves and can just put energy towards growing new ones that are going to be established in its new area. Avoid fertilizing at this time. So you're not going to want to be like blasting. Some people might think, oh, let me give the plant some extra fertilizer to help it, but like just let it establish. Like don't go crazy. Ensure that the plant has good drainage so the roots don't sit in water. And most importantly, be patient. Transplant shock really takes patience. Like you can control your controllables and then you really have to let go and just see if the plant will fly. So does this not sound like life, plant friends? Does this not sound just like life? When we go through big changes, like a move or a job, it takes us time to adjust too. And the same way that our plant's roots need to find new soil, we need to find our new routines, our new friends, our new connections, our new alignment, right? Life is going to look different when you completely uproot yourself and move, or when you find yourself in new circumstances and you have to allow for your life to kind of adapt around that. So when we look at transplant shock for humans, let's go back to the original symptoms for a plant and what that could look like as a human. So in a plant, you'll see wilting. In a human, that could look like exhaustion. In a plant, you'll see yellowing leaves. In a human, that could look like feeling like you're tired or bored of your old routines and hobbies and wanting to drop them, like feeling like you have parts of yourselves that are no longer aligned in this new life, in this new chapter of life, that are going to kind of like wither and fall off. If you have a plant that is stunting, you know, plants can stunt their growth when they're going through transplant shock. And in humans, that can often look like being in freeze. So being in fight, flight, freeze response is very similar to stunted growth and just kind of feeling like you get to your new chapter of life and you don't know what to do and you don't know where to move and you just feel like it's all kind of crashing in on you. That's very normal. You're just going through transplant shock, but as a human. So then how do we care for ourselves as we as human are going through transplant shock? And this is something I've been actively doing or not doing, right? And suffering from, and I'll transparently talk to you about that in this next chapter. So once again, let's go down how do you treat a plant's transplant shock and then how does that translate to human transplant shock? Water properly, right? So if you are a human going through transplant shock, you need to make sure that you're still hydrating yourself and taking care of yourself. Yes, that means literally drinking water and making sure you're hydrated, but also pouring into yourself. I went through a moment in my first week of living in Florida where I wasn't working on the podcast. I wasn't doing my job. I was just like manically unpacking all the boxes. I took on all the stress and pressure that no one was putting on me. And I was just like, I have to get this all done. I wasn't sleeping. I wasn't taking care of myself. I was just like eating junk food because I didn't have time to cook. I just was like, I gotta unpack. I gotta unpack. And I realized, oh my God, I'm not watering myself. I'm like dehydrating myself, my soul. I'm dehydrating my soul, right? And so I kind of intervened and was like, okay, Maria, we gotta take care of you while we take care of this new house and new home that we're building. Pruning damaged leaves and parts of your plants. This is a great time to evaluate what aspects of your life didn't work for you in your last home, right? What habits didn't work for you that you don't want to bring into this new chapter? Because when you have the opportunity to physically change your surroundings, it's a great way to also change your habits and build new healthy habits. Avoid fertilizing. Don't put crazy pressure on yourself in that first couple of months as you're settling into a new home or a new job or as you're dealing with a loss, like whatever change you're going through, like that is not the time to do all the things. Give yourself grace, like give yourself some space to just kind of breathe into this new pots thing that you're in and let your roots just grow some new hairs and establish and anchor in before you take off. That's been really hard for me too. The first week that I moved to Florida, I was like, I need to be unpacked. I need to be fully nested. I need to have a perfect home and I need to have all my friends made. Like in my first week, it was so unrealistic. And I quickly realized, okay, no, Maria, that's not what we're going to do. That's going to drive you crazy. So in this episode, we talk about plant life metaphors, and light would be a metaphor for positivity. But when you need literal light for your houseplants, like when you need a higher light environment for your houseplants, whether it's that it's getting darker and you're in your, you know, fall and winter months, or you have plants that you just want to take really good care of and give them a boost with extra light, you should look at Soltech's stylish grow lights. Soltech lights are a light that not only nurtures your plants, but also elevates the style of your space. Their grow lights provide the perfect balance of functionality and elegance, ensuring your plants receive the optimal light that they need to thrive while enhancing your aesthetic. The Aspect Pendant Light, proudly assembled in America, showcases Soltech's dedication to quality. I have three of these. They're hung all over my house. These lights are designed to seamlessly integrate into any decor, providing both functionality and visual appeal, making your space feel lively and vibrant. Plus, with exceptional customer service, up to a 5-year warranty, and a range of grow lights to choose from, you can rely on Soltech for all your indoor lighting needs. Grow lush, beautiful houseplants no matter the weather, no matter the season, no matter your lighting environment with Soltech grow lights. And you can head over to soltech.com and use the code BLOOM15 for a 15% discount. Experience the Soltech difference and let your plants bask in the light that they deserve with Soltech. That's BLOOM15 for 15% off at soltech.com. As many of us wrap up our gardening seasons, it's time to reflect and plan for next year. And I don't know about you, but when it comes to planning and goal setting, I have to put pen to paper. I can't do it on my computer. And that's why I'm so excited about the release of the Tiny Farm Planner, a practical yet pretty small farm planner that serves as a guidebook, record keeper, and task tracker for small-scale farmers and backyard gardeners everywhere. The planner is created by Jill Reagan. She's the author of The Tiny But Mighty Farm, and she understands the organization required to have a thriving farm in a small space. I love that the Tiny Farm Planner is divided into seasonal sections, not calendar dates, so you'll easily be able to track everything from planting dates to chore lists to plant yields to harvest times, no matter what climate and zone you grow in. She's also thought of things that you might not have thought of to track in regards to your growing season, like budget. She has budget tracking and expense logs, pest and disease trackers, monthly chore checklists, and supply needs lists. The Tiny Farm Planner is a complete system for recording all the data, thoughts, and inspiration you need to keep your garden productive and healthy from year to year. Pick it up at your favorite local bookstore, bookshop.org, Barnes & Noble, or amazon.com. That's The Tiny Farm Planner by Jill Reagan, wherever books are sold. The Tiny Farm Planner by Jill Reagan. And I think most importantly, like particularly with plants and with humans, be patient. You can't expect to be completely transformed when you go through change. Like sometimes you just have to move through the mud of the change. That concept, no mud, no lotus, right? The lotus moves through the mud before it moves through the water and blooms up top. You have to have that period of mud and darkness. I kind of feel like that applies to being in a season of change as well. Like you have to go through the mud of it and you can't really accelerate that part. You have to move through it. I have to move through getting out of these boxes. I have to move through sleeping on the box frame for a few weeks until we find a headboard. Like I have to just move through all of it and not just be miserable until it's over. And also like finding joy in it. Can you challenge yourself and find joy in the discomfort of all of it, right? That's also been something I've really been playing with. Also reminding yourself that dormancy is sometimes necessary, right? Like I had a snapdragon plant. It was actually probably stunted growth, but like plants need to go dormant. So as you move, if you experience a period of dormancy, that's probably just yourself, like, you know, getting ready to bloom in your next quote unquote season. We're getting really deep into plant life parallels now. Also, like, plants are so resilient and we are so resilient. In the last couple of years, I've been put up against beyond. Like, I have been put in adversity that I could have never even imagined for myself. And some of this I have not shared publicly about, and I probably won't, but it's been a very tough year for me personally. And I am so much more resilient than I ever thought I could be. And sometimes you don't understand how resilient you are until you're put in these scenarios, right? Just like plants, you probably have had a plant or two that you're like, oh my God, I think I killed that thing. And you water it and it bounces right back, right? Like, plants are so resilient. It's so shocking how much they want to live. And it's the same for humans. We are capable of holding so much more than we think we are. Another concept I've been playing with in terms of transplanting, which doesn't necessarily look like shock, but in terms of perspective, when you repot a plant into a larger plant and you give it all sorts of new delicious soil with nutrients, if it's been nutrient deficient in its old planter, all of a sudden it's going to get the nutrients that it's been needing and feel so much better and jump into action. So I've been looking at, like, what are the nutrients in Jupiter in Florida that I haven't had in New York? And for me, socialization. Like, I was very isolated and lonely on my 5 acres in New York in the country. And in Florida, we're so much closer to everyone. I'm 8 minutes from my sister. It's very easy for me to get in my car and go to a Starbucks and work for half a day. So part of me is like, wow, that nutrient of socialization, of being around other people that I've been so lacking, that I have not been able to give myself in New York, I'm so excited to access it and, like, have it just fuel my soul and my brain, right? So in whatever change that you're going through, once again, whether it's moving, whether it's relational, whether it's jobs, what are the nutrients that you're actually excited? Because I think sometimes when we move through change, we talk a lot about the negatives, but what are the things that you're excited about accessing in your new pot, in your new planter? I'm really excited to make friends here. I want to have, like, girls' night once a week. I'm excited to see what socialization looks like for me when it's just, like, so much more accessible. So last but not least, in this last segment, I want to talk about moving from that overwhelm of transplant shock into growth. So for those of you who have actually moved, I wanted to talk about all of the different things that I'm doing to establish my roots faster, to establish community, to feel anchored and to feel secure as quickly as possible so that I can flourish in Florida and I don't sit in this state of transplant shock for the next 6 months. So if you have moved, if you are moving, here are some ideas. So you can join local clubs or groups. So I have found all of the local garden clubs. There's a local garden club in West Palm Beach, and there are a couple of cool, like, Facebook groups that I've joined, and I'm trying to connect with local clubs to meet some people with similar hobbies and interests as me. You can attend community events. So I have a yoga studio nearby me that does really cool events like sound baths and sister circle. So I've been going to those. There are different garden centers that put on, like, September parties, like, I guess, because in Florida, like, September is kind of the start of the growing season. So I'm going to go to that. You can explore your neighborhood. I've met my neighbors just by walking around my neighborhood with my puppy nephew, Birdie. I don't know if you follow me on Instagram, you might see that I babysat him this weekend, but I got to meet a bunch of neighbors as I was walking him. Speaking of neighbors, like, just going and introducing yourself to your neighbors is helpful. Two of my neighbors across the street were talking and I just, like, hopped out of my car. I was getting my car to go somewhere and I was like, can I introduce myself? I'm new. I live there. And they ended up being so nice and we had a nice conversation. And it feels nicer to know the people that are always on your block. But if I didn't get out of my car and go introduce myself to them, I don't know if we would have ever met, right? Because I would have just waved at them from my car window and that would have been that. Use social media. So there are websites like nextdoor.com and Facebook groups that are really awesome for connecting with your local neighbors. I made a connection off of Facebook Marketplace. I bought a bookshelf off of Facebook Marketplace and the girl that dropped it off was so cool. And I got her phone number and I'm totally going to ask her for coffee, right? But there's tons of different online. I actually also joined Bumble BFF. So those meetup apps are also great. So meetup.com is another one where you can meet up with people with similar interests. I did join Bumble BFF. I haven't made, like, a connection that I've taken off the app yet, but that's been really interesting and vulnerable to be on. Go support your local businesses when you can. So if you have the opportunity to shop local instead of shopping at, like, a general store, that's always a great way to get to know local business owners. When I lived in the Catskills, almost all of our local friends in our area were the business owners of the local businesses because the people that live there are, you know, all the cool young entrepreneurs. take classes and workshops. I've been trying to go take yoga classes at this local yoga studio, and Mounts Botanical Garden in West Palm Beach has orchid classes and all sorts of really cool plant care classes that are Florida specific. So I think I'm going to go take an orchid class, and I'm going to go take a like Florida landscaping class just so that I can like learn a little bit about what plants make sense in Florida, and also like hopefully meet other local Floridian gardeners. And then obviously get involved in local causes and volunteer. So we all know I'm a bird mom. There's a local bird and parrot rescue that I have reached out to, and I'm looking into volunteering with them and helping them at this really cool parrot rescue place because I'll meet other bird ladies there, because that's another very special niche personality type that I am, in addition to being a plant lady. But anyway, plant friends, in conclusion, we all are going to go through transplant shock at some point in our life. And it's hard. It's not fun. It's not fun going through these transitions. But I have found so much comfort in viewing myself as a plant, going through transplant shock and loving my wilt and loving my freeze and loving myself in this moment. And I hope that this episode supports you when you are in a moment of change, and that you can also give yourself grace and be patient with yourself and trust that there is so much growth on the other side of this transplanting, right? There is so much growth. And I keep saying, like, there is so much joy and expansion beyond my wildest dreams that I can't even fathom because of this move to Florida. And yes, I gave up my zone 6. I gave up fall. I gave up winter. I gave up a lot of things when we left New York. I gave up my friends, right? Like, we moved to Florida not knowing anyone, but there are new friends here. There are new opportunities here. I have a year-round gardening season in Florida. My houseplants get to live outside of my lanai. There's so much beauty that I can't even imagine coming. And even though right now I'm in this moment of shock and of discomfort, I know that there will be beautiful blooms to come. So with that, I hope you continue keep growing joy. Plant friend, thank you for tuning in today. It means so much to me that I get to be part of your planty journey. If you like what you heard, make sure you're subscribed to the show so you never miss an episode. We have so many incredible interviews and solo episodes on incredible houseplant and gardening topics that you will not want to miss this year. And while you're over there in the podcast player subscribing, why don't you click over to the review section of Growing Joy with Plants and leave us a review? Reviews are tremendously helpful for the growth of the podcast, so thanks in advance. If you're looking for more opportunities to grow as a plant parent with Growing Joy content, we've got so many options for you. First, I highly recommend you taking the Plant Parent Personality Test. It's free. It's super fun. It takes 3 minutes to complete. At the end of the test, you're going to get your plant parent personality profile and a curated list of plants, projects, and podcast episodes that are right up your alley, tailored just for you and your lifestyle, inspired by your results. The links are in the show notes. If you're looking to uplevel your plant parent game, I have so many free downloads on my website that I think could help you, like the Understanding Natural Light download or 9 different ways to green up your office space. If you'd like to support the show monetarily and help me bring the show to as many people as possible for free, you can head to our Patreon link in the show notes to learn more about our offerings. And finally, I invite you to come hang out with me and continue the planty conversation on social media, on Instagram and TikTok. I'm Growing Joy with Maria. My DMs are always open if you have requests for topics or ideas for the show. Thank you again for listening. It is truly my honor and delight to help you keep blooming and keep growing joy. Make new plant friends, propagate knowledge, and grow some freaking joy. That's the motto of the Growing Joy Garden Society app and platform, otherwise known as the plantiest and kindest corner of the internet. If you've been an OG listener or a longtime listener, you might also know this app and platform as the Bloom and Grow Garden Party, but with the rebrand, we've rebranded it to the Growing Joy Garden Society. No trolls allowed, kind plant friends only. And if you haven't heard about the society yet, Plant Friend, you got to join. It's my online community that you can access via iOS or Android app or on your computer that I built to connect our international community of plant friends so we can all nerd out together about plants and celebrate our passion for our beloved plant babies. We have members literally all over the world. I'm so in love with this community of sweet plant friends. I can't say enough amazing things about them. But also, there's a lot of really cool features about the app you might be interested in.
There's dedicated hashtags to all sorts of different subsects of planty passions like houseplants, gardening, plant-inspired DIY projects, growing joy, plants and pets, and so many more. There's a plantrepreneur group, so if you're a planty entrepreneur and you want to connect with other planty entrepreneurs, you can join that group to connect and network. There's a plant swap section. Plus, the entire app, and this is my favorite part, is entirely searchable. So say you want to learn more about Hoya, you type the word Hoya into the search bar, and literally every post ever created about Hoya will pop up, so you can click in, see what other people have been posting about Hoya, and learn on your own and crowdsource hair information. It's so cool. But last but not least, it's an amazing way to support the show. Your monthly membership not only goes to sustaining the platform, but it also supports my team of editors, writers, and a community manager that help the world of Bloom and Grow keep growing. So come join us. All you got to do is go to jointhegardensociety.com and sign up for the community plan. Once again, you go to jointhegardensociety.com and click the community plan. Hot take, plant friends. There is no one right starter plant. There, I said it. And you know what? While I'm at it, there are also no real plant killers in the world. There are just people who have not figured out their right plants for their lifestyle. This is why I created the free Plant Parent Personality Test, because plant friend, I want you to get thriving alongside your houseplants as quickly as possible. So I made this cutie little plant parent personality quiz that's totally free for you on my website to take the guesswork out of building your plant collection effortlessly and joyfully. After speaking to thousands of members in our community, I realized that there are about 5 key plant parent personalities, each one with their unique set of strengths, weaknesses, and a unique set of plants that thrive under their care. For example, a mindful plant parent, someone who wants to engage with their plants daily, use them in their morning routines. If someone gifted that plant parent a succulent and they watered it every day, that succulent would die immediately. However, that drought-resistant succulent is a perfect match for a low-key plant parent, which is someone who travels, has kids, is busy, doesn't have time to engage with their plants every day. They're looking to engage with their plants more like once a week or once every couple of weeks. In addition, obviously, to understanding your light and basic plant care that we provide on this podcast, Happy Plant Parenthood is all about discovering your personality and then picking the right houseplants to go with it. It's that simple. No more stressing over your collection. So what plant parent personality type are you, plant friend? All you got to do to find out is take my free quiz on my website and let me know. You can access it at growingjoywithmaria.com/personality. After taking the test, you'll get an email with a list of plants, podcast episodes, and planty projects that I think would light you specifically up like a full spectrum grow light. So once again, that's growingjoywithmaria.com/personality for your free plant parent personality test results.